So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho came up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, being the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said, "but if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." As they walked along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father! My father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. This is the word of the Lord. Roger.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It just occurred to me, have you ever been sitting down for Sunday lunch, literally just an hour or just a bit more after the morning service, and your mind's gone blank as to what it was that the talk was about in the morning? You know, have you ever happened to you? Yeah, well, so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to have the illustration first, so you've got no excuse when it comes to Sunday lunch, that at least this will prompt you as to the subject. Our talk this morning in the new sheet, as you can see, is headed Passing It On. So In terms of how we think today, I'm going to talk about passing on the baton. All I could find around here was a drumstick. So this is our baton. And if you remember this morning, passing on the baton, that will prompt you, hopefully, to what follows afterwards. So who, hands up here, who, when they were at school, actually ran in a relay race? Great. So can I have a couple of volunteers who are going to show us how to pass on the baton? Yeah? Come and give us a hand. Yeah, that's great. Henry? Not sure. Will? Come, you've done this before. Great. So what we're going to do, we're going to go from this side. Okay, here's the baton for you. You're going to pass it on. And you're going from this side to the other side. Now, this is just a practice. Don't worry. Nobody's looking. Get ready to cue the music at the back. Not quite yet. Not quite yet. This is just a practice run. Okay, so let's see how it's done. Are you facing the right way? Because you're heading that way. Yeah, and this is not an obstacle course, but you've got to get through between the speaker and the lectern. You've got to get through there, okay? Let's see how it goes. Good start, good start, good start. Brilliant. Come on in, let's come back. Now, the thing is, as you know, when it comes to relay races, you cannot drop the baton. If you drop the baton, you'd get no chance to recover. You're not going to win the race. It's all over as far as you're concerned. Now, the other thing is, when it comes to a relay race, you have what's called an exchange zone. In a relay, it's 20 metres, and you may remember the ladies, the American ladies in the Olympics not so long ago were disqualified because they actually passed the baton outside of the 20-metre exchange zone, okay? So what we're going to do, are you ready with the music? We're going to do this again. We're heading this way. Are you ready? Are you ready? We're going to make sure between here and here you hand over. And we're going to do it in slow motion, really slow. Come on. Brilliant. Give them a round of applause. Fantastic. I'll let you have a... Great. So let's just have a recap where we started off last week. When God called Samuel, Samuel was the first prophet. He didn't start off as a prophet. He was just a humble servant before he became a prophet. But he was the first prophet, and he was so passionate. He believed the covenant of God, the word of God, that they were so important that they had to be passed on. So it was Samuel who actually started a prophet school. We joke about our curates in Vicar Factory, but they had like a prophet factory in those times. And the Bible refers to these baby prophets not as pupil prophets or as student prophets, but as sons of prophets. And last week, you remember, Keith introduced us to Elijah. And Elijah had been the senior prophet for many, many years. And today in our reading, we're at the point where Elijah passes on the baton to his anointed successor, Elisha. Elisha was a plowman before he became a prophet. And it was Elisha who in turn would continue as the senior prophet for the next 50 years. And Elisha had asked Elijah, as we heard in the reading, for a double portion of his spirit. A double portion of his spirit. That's probably where the well-known saying originated. Mine's a double. This morning, though, we are going to focus on the handover, the passing of the baton. So this then is the baton of faith. This is the spiritual baton of faith. Now, Elijah had to come to recognize that even his incredible ministry was just an episode in a long-running drama. And sometimes it's good when we too admit the same. It keeps us grounded. Elijah's job now was to make sure that he made the baton pass as smooth as possible. And we also have to learn to handle transition well. Now, we know we all have a part to play, but it is only a part. Nevertheless, each one of us, every single one of us here, has got something unique to contribute. You know, church history didn't begin when I came to faith. Church history didn't begin when you came to faith. No, we're part of a divine, eternal relay. It's not an individual sprint, is it? God doesn't call heroes, he makes them. Now, we are all part of something that has continuity with the past and perpetuity in the future, which we all know is going to end in triumph. And that's why we call it history, his story. It's Jesus' story. It's not a story about the human race. It's Jesus who was there before the world was even created. It's Jesus, God with skin on, who came to live on planet Earth. Jesus who died for us, and then 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. And today in heaven, there's a man, and his name is Jesus. And as if that wasn't enough, he's coming again. It's Jesus' story, history. And now it's our turn. We have the responsibility for passing on correctly the most precious gift to the human race, the proclamation of the gospel. Now, Elijah knew that what he was passing on was of great value, and Elisha knew that what he was receiving was of great value. So Elijah wanted to pass it on, Elisha wanted to receive it. But God doesn't want us to receive it to the point where we stand back and we look at it and we admire it and we think, great, and we keep it to ourselves. No, we have to pass it on. Some of us have been comfortably holding on to the baton for too long. We're in that 20-meter exchange zone. We have to pass it on. Now, when you're in the relay, you don't want to mess up, do you? You don't want to mess up when that baton is passed to you. Pass it on. You see, how we run will determine what comes after us. Remember, God has ordained the running order. Who's running in what order? Where we are in the divine relay. We don't have an option to quit. We don't have an option to stop carrying the baton of faith. Do you want to do great things for God? Pass it on. Don't be afraid. Pass it on. And it's not about how great we are. It doesn't matter what our sphere of influence is. We need to pass it on. And the remarkable thing is, we don't do it because we think it's going to personally benefit us. And it's work marked in God's time, not human time. And that's why it's going to benefit future generations. When you think of the church, the huge church in China that's growing so rapidly, it all goes back to just those handful of missionaries that 100, 200 years ago went out there and made the start. It goes from generation to generation. And our work together here, you and I, is to build this community in the Spirit so that each person that walks in through those doors is going to feel something here, something special. They're going to want to participate in this. So together, we put our hand to the plough. We don't look back except in prayer to thank God for those who have gone before. And we can see some of the plaques around the walls on the church here that inspire us in the same way. And each of us have to do our part in the work of building this community and the kingdom of God. And then we will pass on a double portion of the Spirit to the next person who takes up the plough. So this is the legacy that we leave. It's not measured in mere numbers. It's measured in the depth of our faith and our love of God in the work that we do to make this community and this world to be all that God has planned for it. There'll be no battles over this legacy. There'll only be joy in the knowledge that this is the work that we're called to do. So my question to you now is this. How will you live this legacy today and tomorrow and in the coming years? You've been given a double portion of the Spirit. How will you use it? So as we consider that, let's look at it from both perspectives. Firstly, from Elijah, the mentor, passing on the baton. And let's look at it from Elisha, who's receiving, he's picking up the baton. So first of all, Elijah. What do you want people to remember about you? You know, you don't have to be old and grey to leave a legacy. I bet Penny and her staff at school regularly talk about, this is primary school, regularly talk about former pupils that have moved on to senior school well after they've gone. So even if you're there and you're a young person, don't think that you're not already starting to leave a legacy. When you leave senior school, you've left a legacy. When you leave college, you've left a legacy. When you change jobs, you've left a legacy. And if you move out of your neighbourhood, you've left a legacy. Every time. What reputation do you have within your family and friends, the people that you know best? Who is your Elisha? Who are you mentoring? Who's the person in whose life you are building? Who are you preparing to carry on the good work of God's kingdom after you? What will the story of your life be? Will there be that moment when you'd wished you'd not tested the water, tapped the water, just dipped a toe in, but as we've read, struck the water? We mustn't stay in that exchange zone. We've got to release the next runner. Then we come to Elisha. For each of us, there comes a time when we can't just live out of the abundance of faith instilled in great men and women who've gone before us. We have to walk in faith for ourselves. We have our own God-given work. We have our own unique God-given gifts. We have our own step of faith to take. And so finally the day came when God loved Elisha by taking the stabilizers off his bike, so to speak. Then God really raised the stakes. God's power within us can sometimes only be potential. It can lie dormant until we convert it into strength by faith and action. You see, Elisha could have kept all Elijah taught him for himself as knowledge. We can come here and keep to ourselves what we learn. But Elisha didn't. He outworked his faith. He passed it on. What kind of spiritual insight or influence would you want to inherit? And how would you use it? Whose mantle have you had to pick up and carry? Who's passed a baton on to you? And how scary was that when you first took it on? Elisha wanted to spend every last moment with Elijah. Begs the question for us, who or what do we spend most of our time with and why? I'd just like to finish by reading an extract from one of Steve Furtick's books. And this is how Steve Furtick puts it. Right now, you are in the same place as Elisha was on that historic day by the river. You are standing at the crossing point to your future. You don't have a school of prophets watching from a distance. More likely for you, standing at some distance, is your very own caste of parents, friends, aunts, uncles, co-workers, spectators, maybe a spouse, maybe your children, all waiting for you to take your place. They are waiting for you to do the things that only you can do by the power of God's Spirit. They're waiting for God to touch them through you, even if they don't know it yet. Can you feel the weight of this moment? The moment when God's past faithfulness intersects with your present. When ancient history becomes the story of your life. Elijah passed on the baton to Elisha. Through your surrender to God's Spirit, the same baton has been passed on to you. This isn't a test to see how capable we are. This is God present right now, inviting you to do what he's called you to do, so that we can give him the opportunity to show us what incredible things he can do. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you know us so well. You made us, and you know exactly where we're at right now. You meet us where we're at right now. Lord, where we've been running our own individual race and not part of the divine eternal relay, we submit ourselves to you. Where we've been running on the wrong track, draw us back to the path you have for us. Where we've been holding the baton too long, Lord, help us to release it, pass it on. Where we know it's time to step out, Lord, increase our desire to do so. Help us to leave our life of good enough and step into the greater life you've had in mind for us all the way along. Protect us, Lord, we pray, from being overwhelmed by 1,000 reasons why it might not work, why it should not work, why it will not work. Lord, we thank you that when we do what you ask of us, then you show up in amazing ways. It's time for work, Lord, but we don't want to test the water. We don't want to tap the water. Lord, we don't want to just dip a toe in the water. We want to strike the water and see the impossible become possible. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name.